gently. "They're so beautiful," Deirdre thought. She pulled her bare feet free of the deck loops and floated to the bulkhead. It took an effort. The ship was shaking so hard that she missed the safety harness attached to the bulkhead and bumped painfully against the curving metal instead. "Are you okay?" Corvus asked. Nodding, Deirdre muttered, "Clumsy." She clutched the safety harness and pulled it over her shoulders, then reached down for the straps that secured her thighs. Looking up, she saw that Andy and Max were doing the same. For once, Max was strictly business. No leering innuendos, no offer to help her with her straps. Deirdre smiled inwardly. "Max is just as uptight as the rest of us," she realized. Doran's harness was different, looser, dangling from the overhead so that he could remain facing the control panel. He turned his head and checked the rest of them. "Ocean entry in 3 minutes," he announced. Deirdre was still watching the Medusas in the display screens that circled the bridge. "The cameras are saving this imagery, aren't they?" she asked, knowing that it was so, but wanting Dorn or Max to confirm it.
"Everything's being recorded," Jaeger said.
"Good," Deirdre murmured. "Those Medusas are works of art," she thought. "When we get back, I'm going to beam this imagery to every art museum in the Earth-Moon system. They're too beautiful for only the scientists to look at."
2 minutes to entry," said Dorn.
The ship's buffeting was getting worse. Deirdre felt the harness straps cutting into her as Faraday shuddered and jittered down through the lowest levels of the atmosphere.
"What's that?"
Corvus yelped, pointing a shaking finger at the display screens on Deirdre's console. She turned and saw one of those huge bird-like creatures, its wings outstretched, its long, sword-thin beak dipping into the frothing surface of the ocean.
"Skimmer!" Jaeger hollered. "Like on Earth!"
"Look at the numbers on the data bar!" Corvus cried. "It's big enough to wrap us up in its wings!"
"They grow 'em big on this planet,"
Jaeger said with grudging admiration. As if it could hear them, the skimmer lifted its beak out of the water and seemed to look straight into the camera. Then, with a single flap of its enormous wings, it soared up and out of the camera's view.
"Had its fill of fish," Jaeger muttered.
"It doesn't eat the manna,"
Dorn said.
"There are predators in this world, after all."
"I'm glad it doesn't eat round metal objects," said Corvus, remembering Dorn's earlier attempt at humor.
"Didn't show any curiosity about us,"
Deirdre said.
"Maybe we frightened it."
Corvus grinned and replied,
"Well, it sure as hell frightened me."
"There are bugs that eat metal in the clouds of Venus,"
Jaeger said.
"Not here, though,"
Corvus said.
"Thank goodness," said Deirdre.
1 minute,
Dorn announced. The view outside grew misty as they neared the surface of the ocean. Spray from the waves, Deirdre realized. The boundary between atmosphere and ocean isn't as distinct as it is on Earth. She wondered if Jupiter's incredible spin rate had something to do with that. The planet's more than 10 times bigger than Earth, yet its day is less than 10 hours long. That must whip up tremendous currents in the ocean.
"Retro burn in 10 seconds,
Dorn called out. Deirdre felt her body surge against the restraining harness. But it was a gentle push, more like being pressed forward by a partner on a dance floor than being slammed by a hard blast of retro rockets. The display screens went blank, then turned dark. She felt another jolt, harder this time. And then the ship's buffeting eased into a soft rocking motion like a baby in a cradle. It was soothing, almost, after the hard bumps through the atmosphere.
We are in the ocean, Dorn told them. 30 meters deep and heading deeper.
What happened to the screens? Deirdre asked.
Not much visible light penetrates the water, Jaeger replied before Dorn could. It gets a lot darker as we go deeper. Switching to infrared, Dorn said.
It wasn't much better. Deirdre couldn't make out much of anything on the screens, just darkness, with the vague hint of wavering forms that might have been simply her imagination. But then, she saw something drifting by.
Snow? She called out.
Manna, said Jaeger.
Corvus explained needlessly. It's a stream of organic particles. They form in the clouds and fall down into the ocean. The leviathans feed on them. We know that, Deirdre thought. Andy's just reciting facts to hide his nervousness.
We have entered the ocean approximately 12 kilometers from the spot that the mission plan called for, said Dorn. Now we follow this stream of organic particles down to the level where the leviathans feed.
For once, the cyborg's deep voice sounded satisfied, almost pleased. We're where we ought to be, Deirdre said to herself. Close enough, anyway. Now, all we've got to do is find those giant creatures. Searching. Deirdre began to feel bored. The display screens remained dark. There was nothing for her to see, nothing for her to do. They had unstrapped from their restraining harnesses. Faraday swayed gently in the ocean's surging current. Corvus had gone to his console to check the status of his DBS equipment. He seemed quite content to run his tests, checking and rechecking the gadgetry. Jaeger stood beside him, swaying easily with his feet in the deck loops, running equally incomprehensible diagnostic checks on the ship's systems. Deirdre looked over Dorn's shoulder at the screens of his control panel, trying to make out what the blinking lights and colored curves meant. As if he sensed her behind him, Dorn said softly,
"All systems are performing well."
"We're going deeper?" she asked.
"Yes. Following the stream of organics. We've passed the 300-kilometer mark."
"And there's still nothing out there."
Dorn made a noise that might have been a chuckle.
"I'll put the sonar returns on screen."
The display screens lit up with ghostly images of strange creatures, some sleek and swift, others that looked misshapen and horribly ugly to Deirdre's eyes.
"Fish," she exclaimed.
"The Jovian equivalent," said Dorn. "The ocean is teeming with them at this level."
In the distance, Deirdre saw an undulating, flattened thing that trailed a set of wavering tentacles. The data bar running across the screen's bottom said it was nearly 3 kilometers across. "It's like a big floating bedsheet," Deirdre said, awestruck.
"With tentacles," Dorn added.
Corvus came up beside her.
"Can you tell what color it is?"
"Everything looks grayish," Deirdre said.
"It's the sonar system," Dorn explained. "It doesn't show colors." "Welcome to the club," said Corvus.
As they watched, the flat, undulating creature moved closer. It seemed to slither through the water, its tentacles wavering as it moved. Deirdre thought it looked monstrous. Horrible. It made her blood run cold. Suddenly, one of its tentacles shot out and seized one of the fat, slow-moving fish. Before Deirdre could even gasp, it pulled the fish in and shoved it, still wriggling and struggling, into a round mouth on its underside. Deirdre saw that the mouth was ringed with flashing teeth. The fish disappeared into that maw.